Our lesson this morning is out of Romans chapter 15, verses 1 to 6, righteousness applied to handling burdensome people. The theme of the epistle to the Romans is that God's righteousness is available to man by faith from start to finish. This belief is often not accepted in Christendom. Some claim that one must have faith plus works to be justified. Others say that though we're justified by faith, we cannot righteously live a godly life by faith. In Romans 15:1, Paul summed his teaching in Romans 14:13-23 on relating to spiritually weaker believers. But in doing so, he provided information in Romans 15:1-6 that applies to handling not only weaker believers, but even burdensome people in general. So we view this passage for our insight and application. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, then we'll get into his word. Father, we're grateful this morning for the privilege that we have of fellowship around the Word. We ask that God's people would be edified, strengthened, lifted up, encouraged, so that as we rely upon the Spirit of God, we'll be able to not only understand the text, but use it and apply it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We read the verses and then we'll look at them. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 15:1-2, especially in the English Standard Version, Paul taught that we who are strong in the Lord, in knowing of the liberties that we have in Christ, have an obligation to bear with the failings of weaker believers, whose consciences do not allow for the expression of those liberties, that we should edify them in the Lord and not to please ourselves. Now, this directive does not mean that we must avoid doing all that we want to do so as to do anything that some other believer wants us to do. In other words, God doesn't want us to become slaves to people. Paul in Galatians 1:10 claimed that if he pleased men in general, he would no longer be the slave of Christ. So we're not called to please people. That's not our primary objective at all. Rather, Romans 15:1-2 is to be understood in the context of relating to spiritually weaker believers, that to avoid wounding a weaker brother's conscience, we should not please ourselves, but please rather the weaker brother. Now, Romans 15:3-6 builds on this concept, but in doing so, it provides insight on relating well not only to weaker believers, but also to even difficult people in a very general sense. And are there difficult people around? Of course. We all know about that. Paul presented the example of Christ who did not please himself when dealing with the weak. He came to save. For the reproaches of those who reproached God the Father fell on him. And Jesus on the cross had to pay for the sins of the entire unsaved world that lacked spiritual strength. You know, it's an amazing thing. Jesus, as he was on the cross, was paying for the sins that people were actually at that time expressing towards God and towards himself. It's interesting, the rulers, the religious rulers of the time were mocking Christ on the cross, nearly mocking the Son of God. That's about as bad a sin as you can do. At that point, Jesus was paying for that sin that they were administering against him. And yet he did it. He did it willfully and willingly, which is a tremendous example for us. How many of us would want to go ahead and take the punishment for the wrong that someone is doing to us at that point? We would say, wait a minute, this isn't fair. But Jesus didn't complain that it's not fair or anything. He recognized that he had to pay for the sins of the world, otherwise the world would end up going into the lake of fire. So this is quite an example. If Jesus on the cross was paying for the sins that were being performed against the Father and against him, and he restrained himself so that he stayed on the cross to do that, That's the example of why we should restrain ourselves when it comes to ministering to the weaker brother who has a weak conscience. In other words, we need to go around and see what we can do to help. And many times that involves restricting ourselves from liberties that normally we would feel free to exercise. So, the apostle then explained how. How do you follow the example of the Lord Jesus and thus bear with weaker people in general, as Christ did, even if doing so was hard, since weaker people might be difficult? And that's where verses 4 through 6 comes in. Having cited part of the Messianic Psalm 69, verse 9, and applied it to Christ's pleasing not himself while bearing our sins on the cross, Paul asserted a significant principle concerning the purpose and the ministry of the Scriptures in Romans 15, 4. This is a tremendous verse, but it demonstrates the tremendous value of using Scripture. I know our church's name, we have Nepog Bible Church. That's the second word in our church, in the name of our church. But I'm very glad that we have that name because the Word of God itself is alive and powerful. And when we use it like we should, it equips us to do things that normally we wouldn't be able to do at all. Well, all Scripture, be it the Old Testament is here, or the New Testament by way of application, we know that from 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16, serve to give believers endurance, that's hupomones, that means steadfastness in the face of adversities, and encouragement that they might have hope, and the hope is in the present tense, that you might keep on having hope. This is the power of Scripture. The Scriptures are so powerful that they give us not only endurance in the midst of adversity that we face, but they give us hope that continues and keeps on going no matter how long the pain is that we have to endure. In other words, as Christians learn from the past, that's written in the Old Testament about others who did not please themselves, they are motivated to endure and be comforted in the present, looking ahead in hope and confidence to the future. I can testify to you that many times when I've sat down in my office to start studying a Sunday school lesson, a sermon, a prayer meeting lesson, a Sunday evening message, I'll have something on my mind, a concern in the mind, maybe there's a frustration or something, and the passage that I'm set to study deals with it right head on. And I sit there in shock, and then I realize, okay, the Lord is telling it to me. I've got to eat this diet from the Lord before I feed it to somebody else. And that's often the case. The Lord makes the cook eat his own cook, eat his own cooking. You know, that's what happens. And that's happened so many times in the ministry. And I wouldn't trade it for anything because there's nothing like the Lord speaking to you right from his word. And that's exactly what is going on. This is what the Apostle Paul is writing about. Now, why does this happen? The reason the Scriptures are so effective in this matter is due to their divine inspiration. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, I'm going to quote it not from the King James, but from the English Standard Version, which is quite accurate here. It says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit." Now that's something, because that's the inner man. There's a difference between the soul and the spirit there. "And the joints of marrow," notice the effect it has on the physical body, "and discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart." You see, many times we can't even judge our own motives. God does. He can do that through his word, and his word can reveal to us if we have a motive that is wrong or if it's all right. He can do that. "No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." That's Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. You can't hide from God. You can't hide your own thinking from God. Many times, an issue of concern I know has come up in my own mind, and I don't even bother praying about it. And before I know it, the Lord is addressing that issue I didn't even bother praying about. Okay. He reads the mind. He's letting me know. I'm reading your mind, guy. So be careful how you think. I'm there. Since Scripture is divinely inspired, its contents bear God's authority. And thus written Scripture works powerfully in teaching us, motivating us to endure and causing us to look ahead in hope for the future. All Scripture is God-breathed. The Greek word is a verbal adjective that has a tau, omicron, sigma ending. Whenever that occurs, that means it carries the force of a passive perfect tense. All Scripture has been breathed out by God and continues to have the capacity to breathe out. So every time you expose yourself to Scripture, it's as though God is saying it right now. That's the power of Scripture. And I wouldn't trade it for anything else. And this is why Scripture gets so applicable. You can read that same passage many, many times. My wife and I have a verse from Proverbs that she typed out. Oh, good grief, it's been 15 years at least, 15 to 20 years, and we put it on the refrigerator. I keep learning from that verse. That's because of the divine inspiration of that verse in Proverbs. That's the God we're dealing with. When he writes and has his men of God who are carried along by the Holy Spirit write out his word, you can go back to that passage many, many times and still get fed new information as it applies to new issues that come up in your life. That's the value of Scripture. So, since Scripture is God-inspired, it has his authority. So Paul shifted from discussing Scripture to writing about the author of Scripture, God himself. God causes believers who read Scripture to endure and to be encouraged to live in harmony, bearing up with weaker believers and even with difficult people in general. So the lesson is, we who are strong in Christ ought to bear with the failings of not only weak believers, but of difficult people in general, by using the God-inspired Scriptures that spur us to endure and be comforted by the Lord himself, who provides us spiritual endurance, encouragement, and hope. So in application, may we use Scripture for the enabling to bear with weaker believers and difficult people in general. I was thinking of an illustration. Many years ago, there was a man who was one of our teachers at Multnomah School of the Bible. It's now called Multnomah Biblical University in Portland, Oregon. I attended that school. And Dr. Mitchell was the president of the school, founded it. And then he became the head of the Board of Regents. One time he mentioned he was in a church meeting, and he had preached about the glorification of the believer and how we're going to overcome sin and whatnot. And a dear elderly lady came up to him and said, Reverend Mitchell, isn't it going to be wonderful when Mrs. McGuddlehurry is glorified and she stops being such a pest to the rest of us? And Dr. Mitchell responded, he says, yes, and you know something more wonderful? Someday you're going to be glorified. And she went, like that, thinking that he was critiquing her. And then he says, there's something even better, someday I'll be glorified. And that let him off the hook. But it's always easy to look around and say, boy, it's going to be wonderful when that person finally gets their, you know, new body and new nature and all that kind of stuff. But we have to realize that we're all in the same soup. You know, nobody comes into the Christian faith without baggage. There's baggage somewhere. And God has to work on all of us. But the beauty is that someday we're going to be glorified and all that baggage will be gone. And that's the beauty of it. Thing. But meanwhile, what God wants us to do is to bear up, especially with weaker believers, believers that don't have the knowledge or the persuasion from the knowledge of the Word of God, that they've got liberties that we have. We do have liberties in the Lord, and bear up with them, and so fulfill the law of the Lord Jesus Christ. We run into believers who have come from backgrounds of all sorts. Years ago when I came to Nepog Church, there were people who had come out of transcendental meditation where they actually saw people in the lotus position actually get up and float around the room because of demonic forces, and they got out of that. So they wanted absolutely nothing to do with Halloween, absolutely nothing to do with anything that had to do with even the slight part of witchcraft, and we respected that. But they could very easily be offended if they thought that we were actually talking about that or going in that direction in any way. So we had to be very, very careful. Not that that's good, but I'm saying, you know, we had to do double duty to watch out for that. And we have had some believers in the past who've been saved out of a life of alcoholism and drugs. And so you have to be very careful. Did you know that most drug addicts actually, it's not heroin, it's the regular medicine in the medicine cabinet that's what gets everybody going. And it's the abuse of regular medical opioids and whatnot that have created a lot of the problems we have. So we have to be very, very careful. We've had some people in our past who used to cook with wines. You know, they cooked the alcohol off, but when they found out it became an offense to people who come from backgrounds, they got rid of the wines that they were using to cook because they didn't want to be an offense to people who had been in alcohol before. And I believe that's the right thing to do if you're going to have someone in your home like that. You don't want them to see that alcohol that's there because they think that, you know, you're using it to drink rather than using it just to cook. But even using it to cook can become a stumbling block to a person who's been saved out of alcoholism. So we have to be real careful. But this is where God wants us to bend over backwards just and learn from the Lord Jesus. Jesus on the cross did not please himself. He restricted himself to stay on the cross for you and for me. Okay, that's the example. Look at Jesus. Now that's what we need to do. We need to restrict ourselves as the situation arises to protect the conscience of a weaker believer in the Lord Jesus. Okay, we'll open it up now for questions or feedback. It could be on the lesson material itself, or it doesn't have to be. If there's something else that has come up and you want to address it, that's fine. And we'll seek to answer these questions or the concerns that you have from Scripture, which is the powerful Word of God.